Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello and welcome back to Dubstock, presented by Wendy's. Get the breakfast you deserve with the Wendy's 2 for $4, two fresh made sandwiches just for $4. Price and participation may vary. I'm Grant Liffman alongside Kendra Andrews. And Kendra, that is a new setup. I like it. Does that mean you are settled now?
I am settled. I no longer am living with my parents, which we're all happy for, I think. You know, three people under the same roof all working from home is gets to be very claustrophobic, but I'm gonna have dinner with them tomorrow night, so Friday night. So we're not together, but we're still close.
Oh, that's very sweet. So you can go see your parents and then leave your parents.
I think they're gonna give me like a 2-hour limit, like 2 hours in out.
Right.
That's it.
are you readjusting to San Francisco? Has it been tough?
No, I haven't really gone anywhere. I got my burrito, as I told you last time, and it was amazing. But the rain and the COVID has really kept me inside.
The rain and the COVID. But you know what, you're bearing the lead here. You went to Chase Center.
I did, yes. That's the second Minnesota Timberwolves game of that two-game series. It was my first time at Chase Center. Not ever, but in a year. I was there last January when the Nuggets played the Warriors in San Francisco, but a very different experience, as you can imagine. Got the nasal swab. It wasn't as bad as I thought. They didn't jam it up your brain, which was lovely, but no, it was good. Reunited with the great Nick Friedell of ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Got to sit next to him, which was a treat for all of us. And it was good to be back in a gym, in an arena.
That's so cool. Yeah, I'm yet to go since, you know, COVID and everything. I feel like they have enough people there that should be there. Besides, you know, I'm not the person that they're like, we need to have Grant here. You know, no one says that at any point about anything, really, actually. Wow, this got depressing.
I'll say it next time I'm there.
Thank you.
I'll walk right up to the PR department. We need Grant Liffman.
And they'll be like, no. Okay, so let's start with the thing that has really captured the headlines the last few days, and that's Kelly Oubre Jr. trade rumors. Now, at this part of a season so early on, very rarely do you have trade rumors that strong come out, but it's been such a hot topic about Kelly Oubre's transition to the Warriors, right? Keep in mind, including last night, last eight games, he's shooting 36% from three. So that kind of, that narrative about him not being able to shoot threes, it's kind of dissipated. But more importantly, his fit, it's been a little odd. They've been trying to figure it out. And then all of a sudden, these rumors break. Shams Charania of The Athletic puts out there that JJ Redick and Lonzo Ball are up for grabs and they're talking to the Warriors about Kelly Oubre, right? Well, Kendra, after, you know, some more stuff has been revealed. It seems like the Pelicans called the Warriors about it. And then I'm not going to name names here, but they, proverbial they, might have released the info and leaked it, which is a little awkward.
It is. It's a weird situation all around. You know, trade rumors are never comfortable, I suppose that we could say, you know, and I'm probably even more so for the guy that they're about. But yeah, I mean, last night, Steve Kerr was asked about that. And he said there was just a one conversation, a one-off conversation. Nothing was proposed. It was an introductory conversation. And then all of a sudden, it's everywhere. And like I said, trade rumors are never comfortable. They're always a little weird. But I think what you were talking about before with just how Kelly Oubre's start has been probably just added fuel to the fire for not him, but for Warriors fans, for what they're reading, because they're all up in arms about the fact that he is having a slower adjustment period than I think everyone hoped he would. And then you hear, oh, he might be traded. And that's just, then it, everything just blows up, I think, even more than just any other trade rumor would.
Right. And trade rumors already are the sexy thing out there, right? That everyone's inspired. Everyone's like, oh my goodness, my imagination's running wild. You're talking about Steve Kerr last night or after the game. He says, he addresses the question about the trade rumors. And then Kelly Oubre also addressed some questions about these trade rumors. Take a listen to what they both said.
Yeah, I talked to him about it. It was, it's unfortunate. A team called us and asked about, didn't even make an offer, just asked about Kelly. Next thing we know, it's online. I mean, this is sort of, the modern NBA, modern life, headlines. And that's, I tell the players all the time, and I told Kelly today, like, this is where you really earn your money. The basketball part is the easy part, but packing up your family and leaving, getting injured, getting booed, or reading your name in trade rumors. Those things are not easy. So I was really proud of Kelly. He handled it really well. We texted this afternoon and then I just told him just now how proud I was, because it's not easy to play through that stuff. And, he came in and had one of his best games and was really the key to our finally, gaining some traction in the game in that second quarter.
It was a great conversation. I was really blessed, to hear from him in the midst of something that's very controversial in one's life, just because, you want to be comfortable. You want to just play the game of basketball and not have any stresses. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and the coach has been through it just like we all have. So, for him to just reach out and just talk to me through it, it's been great. But it did not affect my game tonight. At the end of the day, I'm a Warrior. Like I told him, let's go get the
So as you can tell, Steve Kerr has been well known to be a people person, players, coach, someone that can relate to them. And he got out ahead of it and just talked to Kelly Oubre and said, listen, I know what you're hearing. We want you here. And that it has to be something that feels great for Kelly Oubre to hear. So it almost, you're getting ahead of it. You're preemptively saying, let's not have awkwardness here. The Pelicans called us, right? Now, Kendra, I'm gonna throw out a warning out there. That does not mean that Kelly Oubre cannot be traded. And he had a really good game, but that doesn't also mean that he's fitting in perfectly with the team as well. So that is still a possibility, but at the end of the day, at least Steve Kerr got out ahead of it.
Yeah. And you bring up a really great point that none of this means it's not happening. None of it means it is happening. Our Monty Poole wrote the other day about how if the Warriors are in fact really thinking about their future beyond this season, it might not be a bad idea, because you get Kelly Oubre to replace Klay Thompson. Well, when Klay Thompson comes back, where exactly does that put Kelly Oubre? Is there a better person out there who can fill that role to back up Klay Thompson when he comes back? And if the plan is to be good for another long push as they were, for the past 5 years up until last season, it's a conversation that Bob Myers is probably having with his staff.
Yeah. And the contract situation is the thing that clouds the most things, because Kelly Oubre right now is he's a free agent, but you get his rights, right? So technically speaking, Warriors can match what another team offers, right? But at the same time, well, not match, but they can, they can spend as much as they want to bring him back. Here's the thing though, is that it's going to be a lot of money. And even if Kelly Oubre has a bad season, some team is going to take a flyer on him, a young guy who's had good seasons in the past, and take a chance on him. And the tax bill that it would cost to retain him, it's very, I would just say unlikely that he has, you know, he'll fall in the price range that the Warriors can bring him back. So therefore, it is true. Flipping him for somebody, whether it be assets or whatever, can help in the future. But Kendra, they're trying to win right now, right? They're not in a position to be like, oh, let's trade Kelly Oubre for a future first round pick. That doesn't help them right now. So that's why the JJ Redick, Alonzo Ball notion and rumor out there caught people's interest, because those are guys technically that can help them win now. Redick is a free agent after this, but Lonzo is a restricted free agent. So they technically could match anything for Lonzo if they had him. So the fit wise, let's just address this straight up. JJ Redick, while he's struggling this season to shoot, JJ Redick, I think I've clamored for JJ Redick to be on the Warriors since like 1997. Sure, why not? Anyway, JJ Redick, I think, would fit perfectly. We all know that the guy can shoot the lights out. The spacing would be perfect, whatever. You'd be giving a lot up on the defensive end, though. Mm-hmm. Lonzo, he's the wild card. Now, Kendra, there's one thing about Lonzo is that, first of all, he can guard other guards, right? Something that Kelly Oubre does. Mm-hmm. But remember the other game when Draymond Green was tossed out? Do you remember that? You jog your memory? That Steve Kerr went to Nico Mannion at one point because they needed a playmaker in that way. I mean, you're not going to get a better playmaker to fill that role than Lonzo Ball. So that has a fit right there too. I'm not saying any of this is going to happen, but if it did, there's reasons to believe that the Warriors would be in a good situation with either of those guys as well.
Can I make you feel really old for a second?
Uh-oh.
You said I was born in 1997, the year that you started clamoring for JJ Redick.
That's not true. Is that true?
Not to make you feel old.
Oh no. Oh no. Is that factual? Are you, is that a lie? Oh no. All right. I might have to sit out a few plays after that one. Next time I'll go more extreme. I'll be like 1952. So it's like, okay. Anyway, so we're not going to go over my age. And yeah, so at the end of the day, the Warriors, could it make sense? Absolutely.
Right.
However, Kendra, if Kelly Oubre plays like he did last night against the Timberwolves in the second game, like, Warriors are better with him. So that's the conundrum, if you will.
Yes. And I think especially their next game against the Suns, and as they play more competitive teams,
mm-hmm.
that's when the critical eye really has to come out, right, for guys like Kelly Oubre, because no disrespect to the Timberwolves, they aren't the toughest competition in the league.
You're allowed to say disrespect, by the way.
Okay. Well then, disrespectfully.
I mean, the guys last night of the postgame show were like, they're trying to relegate them to the G League. And I was like, guys, whoa, let's slow down. My favorite part was when Fitz on the broadcast said, no disrespect, but, and Kalena goes, usually that means disrespect is coming.
Yeah, that's like when you say no offense, but, and you're like, or, well,
Did you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? Were you a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan? No. Okay. So they had a whole episode where you whatever you say, and then say, having said that,
right,
everything, disregard everything you said before, because it's going to be the complete opposite.
Absolutely.
Right? Right. You're nice and all, but having said that, you know, it's like, yeah.
That's why I was told, if you're having a, not an argument necessarily, you're having a more argumentative conversation, you always say "and" instead of "but," because if you say "but," it means disregard everything you just said because you're wrong. If you say "and," it means you acknowledge what they said. They still might be wrong. And if you look at it a different way.
Interesting. Interesting.
My mother taught me that.
A diffuse, a combative situation. I just think there's a softer ways of like saying "but," like "however." That maybe. How about "nevertheless"? Then you sound like you're smart and you've thought about this. I don't know. And I digress. Anyway, the one thing we saw, the big difference in this series, the two-game set where the Warriors now improved to 10-8, was the new starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Kevon Looney inserted into the lineup. You and I talked about it at great lengths, what the Warriors were going to do. They went with the lineup that has recorded the best numbers this season, and that is Kevon Looney as the starting center. And, okay, I need to preface this before, again, no disrespect to the Timberwolves, but they're not exactly the group that will show you the true colors of a lineup.
Yes.
Could it be fool's gold? Possibly. But we do know throughout the season, this lineup has shown good results. So it made sense that it did it well. Even though, by the way, Oubre gets so many fouls early on in this game that we never really got to see the starting lineup in this last one. Anyway, disregard that for a second. They played well. Kevon Looney and Kendra, you were covering the Nuggets for a while. And I want your opinion about this. You come back and you're watching the Warriors now and you're watching Kevon Looney. And I'm guessing you're not like, wow, that was so crazy what Kevon Looney did out there. Wow, that's the best move of all time, because he just does things so subtly mm-hmm. that you don't even notice. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. Yeah, I'm coming from covering Nikola Jokic. You don't see a whole lot of centers do what Jokic does.
Right.
Yeah, Kevon Looney is more of your stereotypical big center. But you're completely right in that, he's not doing these wild things. He's not really stuffing the stat sheet. He talked about that the other day. He said, I focus on those little things because I focus on being a great screen setter and rebound and just putting myself in positions where it will open up a guy like Steph Curry. And that is such an important thing for the Warriors. Getting Steph Curry easy shots makes them a whole lot better. So no, he's not going to blow up the stat sheet, but I think that Kevon Looney is a really solid center. We saw that against the Timberwolves. Again, we've already talked about how the Timberwolves, I think, if the Warriors, if they decide to play the starting lineup again against a team like the Suns, I think then, okay, you have DeAndre Ayton out there.
Yep.
Maybe you then see, and also the Timberwolves were playing without Karl Anthony Towns, which is an important thing to mention too. So I think, okay, you get them against a center like DeAndre Ayton, other teams that they're going to play down the line. Then you kind of really see, okay, where are the centers on the Warriors at right now when they are playing against another competitive big man like DeAndre Ayton.
Right. And some other keys, you know, defensively, we talk about, as you just said, solid, right? Kevon Looney is solid. He's not spectacular. He's solid. And that's what the Warriors needed. Screens, as you mentioned, his screen assists are always really good out there. He's setting the screen that leads to a bucket. Also, James Wiseman, who we're going to talk about in a second, isn't adept at being a playmaker yet, facilitating, getting the ball and finding the right guy. Kevon Looney, the last two games, last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, he played 12 minutes and had four assists. That's back-to-back games of four assists for Kevon Looney. That's his fourth game this season with four assists. Last season, he didn't have one. So the point is that Kevon Looney is getting to be in that position. You feed him, maybe he gives a dribble handoff, or if he doesn't, he finds the right guy. And that is why they need someone like him out there, because Kelly Oubre, while he's starting to get a little bit more assists, he's not that type of player that's going to find people. So you can't have Wiseman and Oubre out there together too much because they're both not finding people, right? So that's where Looney helps. And again, you're never going to be like, whoa, what did Kevon Looney just do? No, it's going to be more like 12 minutes. He had 10 rebounds, four assists. And during that time, he played very solid defense.
Yeah. And that's, like you said, that's why that has been their most successful lineup all season long.
And he's also helping. By the way, Andrew Wiggins last six games is shooting like 56% from the field, 46% from three. So the efficiency is coming together with this team. They become more efficient when they're solid with their screens and the passes and finding the open man. That is what they do best.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
Now, we can't not talk about James Wiseman because the last five games, I think he's averaging nearly 18 points per game. This one, Kendra, I mean, we don't have to legally mention the Timberwolves not being very good every single time we say someone played well, right?
It's established.
Okay. Contractually, it's not part of the deal. Like, we don't have to. Okay. You're new, and I don't know if the contracts nowadays, what they put out there. No. James Wiseman hits three threes early on. Just like, they're running almost assists for him right off the edge. And then, he did all the things tonight. And again, you know how we're just talking about Kevon Looney not doing the sexy things? You know what the team was most excited about? And you know, was him just putting his arms straight up and just defending without blocking people.
It's a beautiful sight to see, you know, especially for everyone always reminds he's 19, for a 19-year-old being able to shoot just straight up and down is really great to see. And those past two games against the Timberwolves, especially, I think that second game, he just looked so much more comfortable, confident. You know, he talked about how coming off the bench has been good for him. He can start the game by watching. He can start the game by observing, okay, what is their center doing? How is Kevon Looney approaching that? Take those mental notes and then apply it when he's out on the court instead of starting, being thrown into it, figuring out on the fly, then going to the bench, seeing what the other center is doing. Okay, why didn't it work when I tried to do what I just tried to do? Instead of having to correct it after the fact, he's being able to take those notes first, and it's really helped him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he seems decisive out there. And if the Warriors are going to get him back in the starting lineup. Now, Steve Kerr is not committed to the starting lineup for the rest of the season. It's a wait and see type deal. But if he keeps on doing where he puts his arms straight up, stays out of foul trouble, is decisive about what he's doing out there, you're going to see James Wiseman back in the starting lineup, right? There's going to be games. And Steve Kerr is the type of guy that wants to reward people and let them know, hey, because you're doing so well, I'm going to put you in the starting lineup for a couple of games and maybe switch it around again. And the maturity, you mentioned it, just the ability to sit there and be like, yeah, I think it's great that I moved to the bench. I mean, that was part of the concern, right? Everyone's like, the mentality of a 19-year-old, is he going to be like, this is demotion, I'm awful?
No. And I think it's important to remember, too, that the Warriors, ever since Andrew Bogut left the team or when he was done with the Warriors, the center position has always been somewhat rotational in the sense that Steve Kerr a lot of times has switched the starter at that spot. And that's what Kevon Looney said he told James Wiseman after Steve Kerr made that initial change for the first Timberwolves game. He told him Kerr does this all the time. So like you said, it's not a demotion at all. This is just the way Steve Kerr coaches, and he will make another change. It's just a matter, is it a couple games or is it a couple weeks, really?
Yeah, no, I, the Warriors fans, the coaching staff should be so encouraged by James Wiseman's last few games against the powerhouse Timberwolves, who might win it all. By the way, by beating the Timberwolves, this has to be talked about. The Warriors, again, ensured that the Timberwolves right now are the worst record in the NBA, which, let's just go over this real quickly. The Warriors keep the pick if it's pick number four or later in the draft. If the Wolves end up with a 1, 2, or 3, they don't get the pick. The next season, it's unprotected and they get whatever. But before you start saying, oh, I better root for them only to get the number four worst record in the NBA so they stay there. Sure, are the best odds right there? Yes, but it's very close. If they finish with the first, second, or third worst record, I guess what's a better way of saying it? If they just finish with the worst, second to worst, or third worst record in the NBA, they have a 60% chance of not landing in the top three. So it's better, they have a better chance of giving the pick to the Warriors than not. So at this point, if you're a Warriors fan and you want that pick to materialize, just root for them to lose. Yeah, I mean, okay. that's the end of the story.
Kerr said that he thought about that. After first game, he was asked, do you have in mind that you guys have their pick? And he goes, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, I did think about that.
Yeah, extra motivation. Make them lose. If you're a Warriors fan, which would be very surprising if you're listening to this and you're not, like all the Timberwolves fans listening to this pod right now,
they're going to come for us.
I don't know if our review, our ratings after this one might not be so hot. I do not read the comments after this one. yeah. Steph Curry. Have we even mentioned him on this episode yet?
I think I said his name once because Kevon Looney sets good screens for Steph.
Yeah, that guy. Steph started so slowly in the second game against Minnesota, but it got Steph-like later on, and he did his infamous or just his signature shot, turns around to the bench because he knows it's going in from the corner. This time he was looking at the Minnesota bench instead of his own. He came in and just sealed the game late, and he was electric. And when he starts going, Kendra, just watch the bench reaction. Yeah.
It's awesome. That was one of my favorite things about being back at Chase Center the other night, was watching the bench reaction to Steph, to Wiseman, to anything. And I mean, in both Timberwolves games, really, Curry had that Curry flurry at the end of the game where he really sealed the deal. The difference was, of course, in that first game, he showed up in the first half as well. But it's when I just feel like there is a question of, okay, do guys have a switch that they can just flip in their head saying, I've had enough. I'm shutting this down. Enough, like, giving them points and us not scoring. Like, no, I am winning the game for us right now. I almost feel like Steph Curry does have one of those flips where it's like, okay, we've had fun. This was a good game. You guys got some, we got some, but it's time to seal this one. And that's what he did in both games.
Yeah, no, that's what superstars can do, right? You've seen LeBron do it, and Steph does it. KD used to do it. It's just when they're like, all right, enough's enough. I'm going to win this. And a lot of it for Steph is he kind of breaks from what the Warriors are trying to do about sharing the ball. He goes, just give me the ball, set me a screen, or I'm going to take this guy ISO, put a rookie on me. I'm just going to dance on him and do it. And people then say, well, why don't you just do that the whole game? Because he doesn't want to do that. Steve Kerr doesn't want it. And by the way, Steph Curry doesn't want it. Steph wants to be within the flow of the offense and enjoy it. Does he enjoy moments like this? Yes. He doesn't want to do it a whole game. So the point is, as you were saying, you know, he flips the switch and goes, I'm just going to beat you. By the way, Klay Thompson being on the bench. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you notice this, but every single play he's standing up and like cheering, and it just makes you, you know how badly he wants to be out there.
I know.
Breaks my heart.
Well, we saw the other day him flipping the ball into the basket during the timeout and stuff.
I know. It's, oh, poor Clay. Anyway, now I do want to play some sound. This is really cool. And Darrell Wright, our own Darrell Wright, former NBA champion, he got Chris Paul to talk with him and give some awesome, awesome interviews. And in it, he asked two questions that I really want to bring up right now. And one is about Steph, right? Steph being Steph. And we know about the rivalry between Chris Paul and those Clippers, and then Chris Paul and the Rockets against Steph Curry and the Warriors. And sometimes you forget that off the court, there is this respect, and they're around each other a lot more than you think, right? And listen to this sound about Darrell asking CP3, like, when did Steph earn his respect? Take a listen.
What moment, what game it was? Because I know you, the Warriors, and Steph had a lot of battles throughout the years.
Yeah.
I want to know that moment where you gained the respect for him as a player. Like, what game, what moment, or was it you being a fan of the game, watching him, when you became a fan of his and he gained that respect from you?
You know, it's going to sound crazy, is like D. Wright, like we don't think of ourselves as being old or nothing like that. And Steph is a grown man in his own right. But like I do a point guard in elite camp, right, every summer. And Steph came to camp, right? And so a lot of people don't know, like before Steph's rookie year, Steph like came on a family trip with my whole family, right? Like we went to Orlando, like I went to take my kids and my family and everybody to like Disney World and Disneyland, right? And so Steph came with us and we worked out and we trained. Our families and knew each other. I was with Octagon, we was with the same agency. Me and Steph got the same financial advisor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like I didn't know Steph forever. So when he came into the league, he had my respect, right? Cause we had spent that real time together training and working out and all that. And Steph just kept getting nicer and nicer and nicer. And it's one of those things where, like I said, he had my respect, but when I played for the Clippers, once we got in that playoff series, you know what it was. You know what I'm saying? Like it just sort of slowly started building. Actually, my first game with the Clippers was the 2011 lockout year.
Right. We played y'all Christmas, right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that like rivalry started building or whatnot. And it was what it was. Steph, man, Steph been nice. It was just a matter of time, you know, for them to put in the system that was for him. So. And the rest is history.
As you can hear, Steph and him have known each other for a long time. And yes, we've seen the antics on the court. We had Chris Paul shimmying in his face in one series and like all these back and forth between the two. But at the end of the day, they really do respect each other because they're Hall of Famers.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the great things about, I'll say basketball. I mean, sports in general, but I feel like the brotherhood within the NBA and within basketball just runs a little bit deeper, especially from team to team and guys who haven't even played with each other before. Because of course you have those friendships who will last when you get traded from a team. But then you have guys like Steph Curry and CP3 who it just comes down to an appreciation. If you appreciate basketball, you appreciate what they do. And I think personally, knowing that there is that camaraderie makes all of those competitive moments, the shimmy that you mentioned when Steph Curry just destroyed Chris Paul's ankles and made him fall backwards, it makes it more fun because I just imagine them texting afterwards or having a conversation a year later being like, you know, still giving each other crap for those moments in a fun, loving way.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now, don't get me wrong. The antics on the court, it's like having that close friend.
Yeah.
That if you live with them, you hate them, but it's not like they're not a close friend. After a year later, you can look back and say, remember when I wanted to strangle you when you lived, you know, like it's more like, or just playing basketball, make it more simple. I have friends that love normally, but when I play basketball with them, if I'm playing against them, do I want to punch them in the face sometimes? Yes, I do. And that's sometimes what happens. I'm not saying Steph and CP3 are best friends off the court, but there is a mutual respect. And that doesn't mean there's not a rivalry on the court. But other than that, and it doesn't help, by the way, that fans will always bring up, Steph owns you, Chris Paul. You know, it's like that probably doesn't feel good to like keep the relationship going. But you can see the respect and you can see what he said. And this one might hurt for Warriors fans just a little bit. But Durrell asks CP3 what was his favorite game against the Warriors. And before he gives his answer, Kendra, I started thinking about, I was like, what's he going to say here? What is he going to say? Because legitimately, for the last 7 years, the Warriors have won every big game against him.
Right.
So what does Chris Paul do? Here's his answer.
What's all-time favorite game against the Warriors? You got one?
Man, all-time favorite game against the Warriors. Man, all-time favorite game, probably that Game 7.
Game 7.
I remember it vaguely, but the biggest thing that I remember about it, I'll never forget, I think I had a slow first half, and all these games experiences, it just teach you like what it's like to be a team. And for me now, as a vet, I always say, you know, players always, I mean, coaches and GMs always look at the stars and how are they going to motivate the other guys, right?
Yeah.
Halftime of that Golden State game, game seven, Willie Green's locker was next to mine. And Willie Green came over to me and was like, yo, C, you on some bull? Like, he told me, he said, you need to be more aggressive. You need to be more aggressive. Never forget, second half, I went out and got off. But it's because Willie came to me and talked to me. So everybody's always worried about the stars, right? But a lot of times the stars need people that they respect on the bench who are gonna get on them and get them going when they ain't got it going. So that's the game.
Kendra, do you remember that game seven in 2014? Do you remember it well?
I think I do. You know, at this point, a lot of those games kind of get jumbled up a little bit.
Right, they blend together.
As you listen to Chris Paul talk about it, I do remember that. And then it becomes very vivid all over again.
I mean, it makes sense that Chris Paul liked that game. There are so many storylines at that time. That was Mark Jackson's last game as the head coach of the Warriors. Chris Paul maybe kind of hurt himself in his career in the end because he beat the Warriors, which fired Mark Jackson, which brought in Steve Kerr. And then since Steve Kerr has taken over, Chris Paul's like never beaten the Warriors.
One way to think of it.
But that, by the way, was the coming out party for Draymond Green. Draymond goes off in that game. And the next season, people are like, this guy needs to play a little bit more. And what happens? Steve Kerr takes over. David Lee gets hurt in training camp. Draymond Green needs to step in, and Draymond Green never loses the job again. And so this is, by the way, all-star David Lee got hurt, and Draymond takes over. So a lot of things. That was a significant game in the history of the Warriors, game seven against the Clippers. And Chris Paul might be the single reason why the dynasty happened. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Give him a ring.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I just blew my own mind.
I mean, I honestly had never thought about it that way, but it's a good point. It makes it interesting, I think, just to see all these turn of events.
Right.
The what was the catalyst?
Right.
For what happened next, and it makes sense that that was the moment that the organization said, well, we need a change, and that change worked out for them pretty well, I'd say.
My mind has been blown twice on this episode. Wow. Number one.
Good morning for you.
What, number one? No, number two was this Chris Paul revelation. Number one was 1997. And it'll take me a while to get over that problem.
I will have to just say before we go, I don't know if it's a skill of mine to make people feel old, but I was talking to when I was interviewing for this job, and I'm from Oakland, you know, I grew up watching the Warriors and watching NBC Sports Bay Area, and I was like, I remember when I was in middle school watching, you know, Monty and Jim Barnett and all those guys, like I just remember that. And I was like, oh man.
I knew you were young, but it's very impressive how accomplished you are and how good you are at such a young age, because if I was like that, at such a young age, maybe I'd be, you know, I'm still not at your level yet. Just give me a few more years. 1997. My goodness. Very impressive.
Me and James Wiseman are the
youngins. You're the future. That's what you are. Yeah. But you're already, unlike Wiseman, you're already polished. You already have it all down. I'm not, you're carrying the pod. You've been on for how many times that you're already carrying the pod? Kendra, that was fun. Do you want to do it again sometime?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like two or three times next week.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Like I said, the rain and the COVID are keeping me inside. So I am always down to podcast with you. Yep.
I'm always down to pod. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. As always, this is Dubs Talk presented by Wendy. Subscribe, rate, comment, all those fun things. And we will be chatting with you all very soon. Have a good day.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.